You want to be the line leader? Okay. Might be a short line, but you lead them out of here. Are we trying to make up our mind if we're going or we're not going? Well, it looks like the Epps crowd saved Christmas for Horizon Church. We have a number of people are out of town, and I knew they were going to be out of town, and others explained to me that they wouldn't be able to get their kids away from the presents. I don't quite understand it, but here we are. We're here to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what a terrific opportunity to be able to do that. And we started with Merry Christmas, and we're here to celebrate the birth of Christ, and I had just a little jingle here. A song was heard at Christmas to wake the... No, not yet. Next slide, if you would, Sean. And yeah, there it is. A song was heard at Christmas to wake the midnight sky. Angels sang of a Savior's birth. Who is Christ the Lord? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men. Luke 2:14. This morning I want to talk about the miracle of Christmas. It dawned on me, for most of you know me, and some may not as well, but at many Christmases I spent at sea on a tuna boat chasing tuna. But for the Christmases that I was home since I've become a Christian, it dawned on me that I've just had little fragments, a little piece out of Luke, a little piece out of Matthew. I've had little fragments of the Christmas story. So this year I'm going to do something. I hope you like it. I'm going to try to put the whole Christmas story together, and I planned on this only getting you out of here in about 30 minutes, but I think I'll need all my time since we started a little later than normal. But I want to talk about the miracle of Christmas. It is the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world through a virgin conception. The Apostle John tells us in the first chapter of his gospel that the eternal Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us in order to reveal the glory of God the Father to all who receive Him. We read in 1 John verses 11 through 13 that He, Jesus, came unto His own, to His own people, His own place, to the Jewish nation. And those who were His own did not receive Him. They rejected Him. In fact, they put Him to death. But as many as received Him, that's us, that's y'all, gave He the right to become children of God to all of those who believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but have been born of God. The new birth as a Christian is supernatural and therefore has nothing to do with natural birth or human achievement. Salvation from beginning to end is the gracious gift of God to everyone who will believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior. This, brothers and sisters, is the true meaning of Christmas. God the Father, He graciously provided His Son to be the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world, John 1:29. This, my friends, is the miracle of Christmas. This morning, I'd like to just review God's gracious provision of Christ as Savior as recorded in Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 1. A provision I am calling the miracle of Christmas. We're going to take a look at the announcement of Christ's birth, the advent or coming of Christ our Savior, and then the adoration of Christ our Savior. The story begins with the announcement of Christ's birth to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement, and she kept pondering, wondering What was this? What kind of salutation this might be? And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary responded to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This, my friends, is the Christmas story that most of us, I think, are familiar with. That's the one that so many churches read each Christmas, and most pastors will pick a little part of that and explain it and talk about the wonder of it all. We learn here in the sixth month, the angel came unto Mary. And this is a reference, if you look back up the page to verse 24, this is a reference to the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. The angel Gabriel is sent from God to inform this young virgin named Mary that she has found favor with God and she has been chosen to be the mother of God. This story just fascinates me every time I read it. How God, in his sovereign grace, chose Mary and, as we shall see, Joseph, because they both were righteous, because God could trust his son, the raising of his son, the advent, the coming of his son, to Mary and Joseph. She's going to conceive and give birth to a son who she is to name Jesus, meaning Yahweh, Yahshua. Yahweh is salvation. Who is Jesus? He is the eternal Son of God that came to provide anyone who will receive it eternal salvation, forgiveness of sin. This child would be no ordinary child. Gabriel tells Mary in verse 32, "He will be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary's son would be great. The Lord Jesus Christ is great. As we look back at his first coming, the Romans and the Jewish people, they mocked him. They put him to death by scourging him and torturing him and hanging him on a cross. The Son of the Most High God permitted that to be done to him because he came, he says, for the very purpose of going to that cross, dying and shedding his blood as a covering for our sin. He is the sacrifice. He took our sin upon himself. It is what I call the trade of all times. He took all of my sin and gave me all of his righteousness. That's a trade. What did I have to do for it? Believe. I had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be purchased. It can't be earned. It is freely given by God to any one of us who will simply reach out and take hold of Christ and say, "Yes, I am a sinner. Thank you for dying in my place. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." That's the Christmas message. That is the message of salvation. Not only will he be great, not only will he be called the Son of the Most High God, Jesus is unique, for he was God from all eternity, and yet he joined himself to humanity. He is the God-man. He possesses all the attributes of God and all the attributes of humanity apart from sin. He is the sinless Savior. The Lord God, eventually, when he comes again, is going to give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. This will complete so many hundreds of prophecies throughout the Old Testament that talked about God someday sending the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who would come and do what man could not do for themselves, offer up himself as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And he shall reign over the house of Israel forever. Jesus is the Davidic Messiah, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, when he returns to establish his millennial kingdom on this earth following the great tribulation. And at that time, we are told his kingdom will never end. We see Mary's perplexed response. How about you, ladies, or how about you guys? Would you be a little bit frightened and a little perplexed with an angel coming and laying some big announcement on you? Especially you ladies. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. That's impossible. I'm only 14. I'm a virgin. What are you talking about? We read this account, we can see that Mary was puzzled over Gabriel's announcement. How could she possibly conceive and give birth to a son, seeing as how she was a virgin? Although she was engaged to be married to Joseph, she had never had sexual contact with a man. Gabriel responds to Mary's perplexity in verses 35 to 37, and he explains to her that this will be brought about by the power of the Holy Spirit, He will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. I'm sure that at the time of this announcement, or shortly thereafter, the Holy Spirit came upon her and conceived Christ in her womb. I don't think she knew it. She didn't feel anything. It was just an accomplished fact. And we learn that this is the truth, because the angel goes on to tell her in verse 36, "Behold, I'm going to give you a sign so that you can check this out and confirm what I'm saying to you is true. Even your old aged cousin Elizabeth, who's been barren all of her life, she now herself has conceived a son in her old age. And she who has always been called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." That's one of the most precious promises in the Word of God. No matter what our problem, no matter what our station in life, no matter what we're facing, God has the answer. And there is nothing that is impossible for God. He loves impossible situations because he loves to work and show us that he is God and that he's bigger than any problem that we will ever face. And he has the ultimate answer. He's the one who delivers us from being the wretched sinners that we were into becoming followers of Jesus Christ and living our lives for him. The angel Gabriel assures Mary that the power of God's Holy Spirit would overshadow her and supernaturally bring about the physical conception of Jesus. That this is a mystery, my friends. I can't even begin to explain it to you, how the eternal Son of God could condescend. If you want to read about it, it's in Philippians chapter 2. Although he existed forever as God, yet he came and joined himself to human flesh. He permitted that to take place in his life. How was it done? It was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Beyond that, it's above my pay grade to explain. When I get up yonder, if I need to know, God will tell me how he did it. But here he tells us how he did it. It was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love Mary's response. She responds in complete, total submission. Mary said to the angel, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word." I am the doulos. I am completely sold out. God, you are my master. I am a slave to you. Whatever you desire to do with me, let it be done. Mary affirmed her part in giving birth to God's Son by assenting to the plan of God. She agreed with it. She said, she came to recognize what most of us should try to lay hold of, is that God created us for his glory and we all have purpose. He has a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. No matter how bad we mess our lives up, he is there to pick us up, clean us up, and move us forward for his glory. That's why he's created us. And for those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we will give him honor, praise, and glory throughout eternity. So for those of you that don't like singing, you need to get busy and start singing. Need to get a head start. Because when we get to heaven, when he catches us up there, we're going to be singing and giving praise to his holy name. If you were to read on in this account, which I'm not going to, Mary departs immediately to visit her cousin Elizabeth, no doubt to confirm the angel's message that Elizabeth was going to have a child. And what do you think? If she gets to Elizabeth's house and she's not 6 months pregnant, what's Mary going to think? I don't know what that was, but it wasn't any angel. But what happens? She gets there and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, "How is it that the mother of my God," which she's already carrying Jesus, "has come to visit me?" And it says that the baby in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, he leapt for joy when Christ and Mary came. So Mary goes to Elizabeth, I believe, to bolster her own faith in the angel's message that she herself had conceived and was going to give birth to the Son of God. Again, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and pronounces a blessing on Mary because she believed what God had revealed to her by the angel. We look next at Joseph's account, the angelic appearance to Joseph in Matthew 1, 18 to 25, the announcement to Joseph. Following her three-month stay with Elizabeth, Mary returns home to Nazareth. It's very obvious by this time that she is pregnant. She's 3 months pregnant. She's starting to show. Matthew records Joseph's reaction to Mary's pregnancy in these verses, beginning in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is indeed of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Matthew records for us here Joseph's struggle over Mary's pregnancy. We don't have any record of Mary telling Joseph, "Hey, Joseph, guess what? I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit." You say, what? What Holy Spirit? Who's the Holy Spirit? You know, the Spirit that came upon King David and came upon Samuel and came upon different ones for service. Yes. Well, that Holy Spirit, an angel came and told me that that Holy Spirit somehow or another took the eternal Son of God and entered into my womb and put him together with my human DNA. That's all I know, but it's true, and this has happened. You think Joseph had a little problem with that? He did, didn't he? He's tossing and turning, trying to figure out what to do. His love for Mary is demonstrated by his action. We read in verse 19 that Joseph, being a righteous, he was a holy man in right standing with God. He lived his life to please God. Being a righteous and gracious man, he decided to put Mary away quietly and discreetly. Because they were engaged, in Israel, some of you are familiar with the marriage customs, parents would get together and they would arrange a marriage for their daughter and for the husband. And sometimes that could be done when they were just young. And when they became of age, then they would come together with the official one-year engagement announcement, at least 1 year. Sometimes they were longer. And at the end of that 1 year, then the husband, the groom would go to the bride's father's house, take his bride with his wedding party, and take her back home to his father's house. And then they would have the marriage ceremony. So we're told very clearly here that they're engaged, but they're not officially married yet. They're in the betrothal, in the engagement period. And so Joseph had to, because he's a righteous man and he's right with God, because Mary's pregnant, that would imply fornication, that she was unfaithful. So therefore, he had to write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her and send her away. And that would normally be done at the city gate before the elders and witnesses. Very embarrassing. But Joseph wasn't going to do that. He had decided in his heart, because he loved Mary, he couldn't understand what had happened and what was going on. But because of his true love for her, he demonstrated that by wanting to privately, quietly give her the bill of divorcement, which basically says, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. You are no longer my wife, and I am no longer your husband to be. And he'd give her that document, which was sealed and notarized, and she would return to her father's house in disgrace. So that's where Joseph's at when the angel shows up. And the angel shows up. This must have been such a huge relief to Joseph. I mean, just think of the struggle that he's having with what Mary's revealed to him and what he's seeing with his own eyes, what everybody in the town's yakking about, gossiping about. The angel said to Joseph, these had to be some of the greatest words in Joseph's life, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child which has been conceived in her is indeed by the power of God the Holy Spirit. The son Mary is to bear will be called Jesus, for it is he who shall save his people from their sins. Whew. I bet Joseph just breathed such a sigh of relief. The angel goes on to explain in verses 22 and 24 that the birth of Jesus is actually the fulfillment of God's promise through the prophet Isaiah, that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son, Isaiah 7:14. Behold, Isaiah says, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and when he comes at the time of his birth, he shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. There's another name of Jesus. Jesus, Yeshua, Savior, Yahweh who saves. Emmanuel, his coming did what? He's the God-man, so it's God with us. He is Emmanuel. He came to reveal the Father unto us and to make a way for us to be restored in our relationship with God the Father. We read Joseph's reaction in verses 24 and 25. And I love this. Joseph arose from his sleep and went immediately and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. So it's probably the roosters haven't even crowed yet. It's probably not even daylight. Joseph jumps up. I'm sure he washed his face, combed out his beard, got his hair going, put on his Sunday best and headed for Mary's house and banged on the door. And what do you think he said to her? I am sorry for ever doubting you. I can't believe it. An angel, like the one you said appeared to you, Gabriel was his name, I think, he appeared to me in a dream this night. And he told me not to be afraid, that everything that you said is true. Glory, hallelujah. Let's get married and smash the glass and let's get on with our life. But notice, while he went and took her as his wife, verse 25, he kept her a virgin until after she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph was totally filled with joy, but being the righteous, godly man that he was, he kept Mary chaste and pure until after Jesus was born. And then according to the gospel records, they had a number of other sons and daughters, naturally. If we turn back to Luke chapter 2, we are going to read about the advent, the coming of Christ our Savior, in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. You had to return to the city of your birth. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. He went up in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. the account of Jesus' birth here fulfills hundreds of Old Testament prophecies concerning the birth of Israel's promised messianic Savior, Son of David. First, we read here that a decree went forth from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken. This census is believed to have taken place somewhere between 6 to 4 BC. 6 to 4 BC. The census required every male Jew to return to their ancestral home to register. You think we got problems with our tax people? The Romans were notorious. And somebody, some bean counter sitting around said, hey, you know, we can figure out who's who by making everybody return to their ancestral home where we have the register of everybody that's ever been born there. And they've got to come there and they've got to register and sign in. If they don't, they'll be a criminal of Rome, a tax evader, and they will suffer. So most everybody, I'm sure, complied. Joseph complied. Mary and Joseph both knew from the angel's revelations that their child was the Messiah. And they may also have known from a verse like Micah chapter 5, the small prophetical book of Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. He who was the eternal one would be born. He'd become a human being, and he would be born in the city of Bethlehem, Micah 5, 2 and 3. During their stay in Bethlehem, verse 7, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. The fact that Jesus is called Mary's firstborn son implies what? She had other sons and daughters. The Catholic Church teaches that Mary was a perpetual virgin forever. She was a virgin when she got pregnant with Jesus, and she remained a virgin forever. She's in heaven today praying for you if you ask her to. And she is the Virgin Mary. That's what the Catholics teach, but the Catholic Church. But it is not according to the Scripture. Mary was a virgin. She was chosen by God to give birth to his son by the power of the Holy Spirit. But after she gave birth to his son, her and Joseph carried on normal relations as husband and wife, and they had a number of boys and girls. The first to visit the newborn king were some shepherds who were tending their flocks out in Bethlehem's fields, verses 8 to 20. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. It's like being out in the woods, for any of you that might do a little hunting at night. And the game warden comes on you and puts that big spotlight on you. That's kind of what's going on here. I see that some of you understand what I'm talking about. So that spotlight hits you. I know as a boy, that was the most terrifying thing that ever happened to me, is I had a little lobster skiff, and my dad showed me outside of San Diego where to set traps without buoys on them. And you'd have to line up the lights of a buoy light in the channel with something downtown. You'd line that up and then you'd drop your traps this way, and they'd have like 10-foot a trap, 10-foot rope, another trap, 10-foot rope. So you'd drop about 5 or 6 traps in that line. Then you'd come back a couple days later at night when it's nice and dark. You'd line up, you'd figure out whereabouts, get your bearings, and you'd figure out where those lights were, and you'd throw a grappling hook out that had a bunch of hooks on it. And you'd kind of troll along there until you'd hit it. You'd pull that up, you'd yoo-hoo, I get it. And the traps would just be full of lobsters. I'd get a gunny sack full of lobsters. And I'd drag those home and I'd give them to my mom, and she'd have a big pot waiting. They'd boil those up and she'd sell them. That's how my family made money. We were very poor and I contributed. I contributed to the family. Well, this one particular night, I'll never forget it, I had my big sack of lobsters, and I was almost home, just coming right up the next block, and the big spotlight hit me. Oh, darn. I knew what that was. Nobody needed to tell me what that was. So what do? This is before I'm a Christian. Everybody with me on this? This is back in my pre-Christian days when I was a little pagan. I was raised to be a pagan. Everybody with me? So what do? You either freeze and stand there, and oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. You lose the lobsters, go home and get smacked. I mean, once your parents get you out of jail or out of lockup, then you're going to really get it, right? I only did what I could do. And so the light hit me, and I bolted. And I took off between two apartments, and they were kind of short, and they had a flat roof on them. And I remember supernatural power before I was a Christian. I took that bag of lobsters. I don't know what it weighed, 50, 60 pounds. I'm not sure. And I was just young. I was only 10, 11 years old. And I heaved that bag of lobsters up on that roof, and I kept running, jumping over fences and crawled into something and hid. And, you know, I could hear them, you know, on the radios. Roger, he got away, the little rat. You know, we'll get him next time. And, you know, spotlights. And anyway, okay, that's my Christmas story. So you get the idea here, why we need Jesus as our Savior, right? You got to have Jesus as your Savior. Oh, I did, yes, about 2 o'clock in the morning. And my mother boiled them up and everything was okay. Yes, I did save the lobsters. I have more stories like that, but we'll save them for another day. Okay, so the angel shows up and man, the lights come on. And these poor little shepherds out in the field that night, they became, oh, here it is, terribly frightened. I can identify with that. They were terribly frightened. They were scared out of their minds. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, don't be frightened. Do you notice whenever an angel shows up in the Bible, what's he tell the person that he shows up in front of? Don't be frightened. Don't be scared. Why? Because when a mighty, glorious angel shows up, he scares the pants off you. It'll scare you to death. So he tells them, don't be afraid, guys. I'm here to give you some good news. Here is the Christmas message. I've got a Christmas message for you. For today, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all people. Not to Jews alone, but to all people, to anyone who will accept this news of what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is news of a great joy for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the single angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. So multitudes, thousands, hundreds or thousands of angels show up and they're all just giving praise to God for what he had done for mankind. And they were all saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, hey, let's go straight. Let's go straight there and let's go check this out. I mean, this is incredible. Thousands of angels appearing to us? Who will ever believe us? Let's go check this out and see if what they've said is true. Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they didn't even doubt it. They said, let's go see it with our own eyes. And they came in haste, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them by the angel about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Who do you think the first ones were that were saved? Shepherds? I'm betting on the shepherds. I think they got the message. They ran straight there. Let us go see this good news that's been shared with us. I think they went and they saw the Savior and they worshiped God. I think they were given the ability to put it together to understand this is Messiah. This revelation has been given to us. The only valid response to the good news of salvation in Christ is expressing praise and glory unto God as these shepherds did. The only response to this good news about Jesus Christ is to accept him as our Savior. And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb of Mary. Again, Jesus means Yahweh is Savior. Again, this is the miracle of Christmas, that God, from the eternal ages past, he could see that Adam and Eve were going to sin. They were going to miss the mark. They were going to sin against him. But he made provision in the eternal ages past to send his son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, born to come and take away our sin by dying in our place on the cross. All I can say is praise God for our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. The adoration of Christ our Savior, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 38. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought the baby Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male child that opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. They also brought him up to offer the sacrifice according to what was in the law of the Lord. And for them, because they were so extremely poor, they offered up a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, whatever they could afford. The first one to adore the baby Jesus when they brought him up to offer him up to the Lord was Simeon. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was a righteous and devout man, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's a pretty good revelation, isn't it? He's getting up in age, but God's Holy Spirit tells him, just keep hanging out up at the temple because the day's coming very soon that you're going to see the Christ, the anointed of God, the Savior, who's going to come as the Savior of the world. You're going to see him with your own eyes before you die. Oh, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. I'll be there every day, Lord. So Simeon was hanging out every day at the temple, watching, waiting for the Holy Spirit to say to him, this is the one, because they brought babies regularly up to the temple to offer them up to God. But on this particular day, when his parents, Simeon says, it says, verse 27, that he came filled with the Holy Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child to carry out the custom of the law, then he took hold of him and brought him into his arms, and he blessed God and said, now, Lord, thou dost let thy bond servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. The Jews rejected him and put him to death. But the Gentiles, they when they would hear the good news, they would just say, praise God. Yes, I want this gift. And so the church has primarily been comprised of Gentiles. That's us. There's only two classes of people in the world, Jews and non-Jews. Jews and Gentiles. Only two classes of people. You say, well, I'm not no stinking Gentile. I'm from Arkansas. I'm a hillbilly, or I'm from Oklahoma, or whatever. No, you're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. And you see, this is actually capitalized in the original, that Jesus Christ that has come for us is a light to the Gentiles, a light of revelation, the revelation of God to us that he has made a way. Verse 33, and his father and his mother were amazed. I mean, this is a pretty tall order. I know my wife, and I know my daughter, and I know some of you. If somebody came up to grab your baby away from you to hold it up and say, yeah, praise the Lord, you'd say, get away from me, you old nut. You know, you aren't taking my baby. But God, the Holy Spirit, was in this whole thing. And I'm sure Simeon has said, this is the Messiah. And what would Mary and Joseph immediately remembered 8 days before? What happened? The shepherds, the angels. This is it. He's starting to be acknowledged as the Savior. He's going to be not only the Savior of Israel, but also a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Glory to God. Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. For those who embraced him, life, forgiveness, restoration with God. For those who opposed him, it will be death. It's curtains for them. That's what's being said here. He's going to be a sword He will bring a sword that will pierce even your own soul, so that the end of the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. You're going to be grieved in your soul when you see what's going to happen to him, the way he's going to be rejected, the way he's going to be despised and killed and hung on a cross. It's going to rip your heart out. But know this, this is the reason he's come. He has come to bring salvation to all who will receive him. The adoration by the prophetess Anna, verses 36 to 38. There was another individual at the temple that day. It was an elderly prophetess by the name of Anna. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage. So she came of age, probably 15 or 16. She got married. She had a good marriage for 7 years. And something happened to her husband. He was killed. Something happened, and she became a widow, and she had lived now to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she herself came and joined Simeon in saying, "This is the Savior. This is the Son of God that has come to provide salvation." So these two elderly, one man, one woman, both of them adoring and ascribing praise to God's holy Son. How about the adoration of you and me? The Christ of Christmas is the ultimate joy of life. His incarnation should lead to a joyous celebration among his people. And this morning, that's y'all. We should be rejoicing in Christ our Savior and what God has done for us. Somebody asked me this morning, how come so many of our people aren't here this morning? I don't know. I don't know. I'm here. I told Tempa, I had a call from Deborah Coffey. We're having church, aren't we, on Sunday? I said, yes. And she said, well, Bill, I said, you guys may be the only ones there. And she said, well, Bill and I are going to be here. And I said, praise the Lord. Then I found out a few more were going to come. I said, praise the Lord. Then I found out a whole bunch weren't going to come. They're either out of town. I had one family told me that they didn't think they could get their kid away from the presence. Something wrong with that. Anyway, here we are, and I am so delighted to be here with y'all this morning. I truly am. Christ is born. The Savior is here, and he is the Lord. He has come. God Almighty took on flesh in order to save you and to save me. We need to praise him this Christmas morning and every day throughout this new year. Who is Christ to you? The Christ of Christmas came to save people from sin. Have you submitted your life to him? It's not enough to know, it's not enough to hear this sermon this morning, to take this outline, stick it in your wallet, and say, well, I'm good to go. It's not enough to be baptized in Jesus' name. You, me, each of us has to personally receive Christ as our Savior. We have to acknowledge, yes, I am a sinner. I agree with you, O God. That's why you had to send your son to die for me, because I'm a sinner, because I'm one of Adam's kids, and I'm sorry. I've committed so many awful acts of sin in my life, but you want to wash me and cleanse me and forgive me? Yes, come into my life, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me, wash me, take my sin away and give me your righteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That, my friends, is the message of Christmas. The Christ of Christmas is God's salvation for you. So take Christ to be your Savior this Christmas morning. Confess that you're a sinner and invite Jesus to come into your life that you might find salvation in the Christ of Christmas. That's what it's all about. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I do thank you that I know you as my Savior. And I've been walking with you close to 40 years. It's been a great journey. I thank you for all that I've learned along the way. I thank you that you have proven yourself to me over and over, time and time again, that you are a powerful and gracious, loving God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying in my place. And I pray for these that are here this morning that asking you by your Holy Spirit to open hearts and minds to respond to this good news. Christmas is all about the salvation which you have provided, Lord Jesus. You stepped out of heaven's glory, took on flesh. You lived a perfect, sinless life for 33 years, and then you offered yourself up on the cross as our sacrifice. Your blood was shed as the forgiveness, as the payment for our sin. Thank you for that. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be active among us right now. If you're here this morning and you have never invited Christ to come into your life, I would encourage you to do that today while you still have an opportunity to do that. Just pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I've heard what was said here this morning. I've heard it before, but I've never responded. This morning, I respond to you, Jesus. I thank you that you are the miracle of Christmas. I thank you that you came to be my Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart, come into my life right now, and help me to live from this day forward for your glory. Teach me, help me each and every day. When I fail you, help me to confess my sin and be restored to you, I pray. Thank you for saving my soul, Lord Jesus. And for the rest of us, Lord, as we wind down a few more days of 2016, I pray that we would take you seriously. And like these who shared the good news of your revelation, I pray that we who know you as our Savior would begin to live like it, that we would live holy lives that are pleasing to you. Help us to be set free from sin in our daily lives, and help us to live to share you and to bring you glory. And we'll be careful to thank you. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. We have a closing song. Would you stand together with me? What child is this? It is Christ the Lord, who came to provide salvation for you and for me. Let us give him praise. May God go with you and bless you this day. May Christ become real to you, because he is the Savior of the world for anyone who will accept him. He's coming again soon, so don't let time run out on you. May God bless you and give you a great day. In Jesus' name, amen.